Anyway, you could give me some moral support, you know.
All right, yes. That's what we're trying to do right now, in a way.
So, thank you, Pablo.
Yes. Well, our previous interviews have been put in the internet already, and I understand this interview will soon be in the internet, too. Have you had some reactions from internet users regarding our previous interviews so far?
I don't know. I've talked to Eugene. Apparently, there hasn't been. I don't know. I haven't really kept up just the last month or so. What is the latest, Eugene? Any interesting stuff?
Yeah, this is Eugene. Some reactions, you know. Reactions. So, although, you know, we have not read the reactions, you know. But some reactions, some good, some bad, you know. Anyway, that's it, you know, so, but many people are wondering about it, you know, because you have such a rare position, you know, and they say that, why didn't you grab the chance to be, you know, on the side of the Jew and then enjoy a good life, you know, and then all opportunities will be open to you, you know, and because... I think many people believe that almost anyone in your position, if they had this position, you know, they would have grabbed right away to be on the side of the Jews, they say, because they are very powerful, they're wealthy, you know, and very influential. What is the main reason, Bobby, that keeps you fighting? Is it because you're a fighter or your principal or what?
I have a crazy quirk, Eugene.
A what?
I like to say what I think. And if you're going to work for the Jews, you can no longer say what you think. You can't say the Holocaust never happened, for example. That's an absolute no-no. You know, you cannot say that circumcision is a crime. There's so many things you cannot say once you get on the Jewish bandwagon, you know? And this is just a quirk I have. I've always been this way. I like to say what I like to say, you know what I mean?
You want to be like free from...
Free, right, I think that's it. I like to be free, at least in my mind, you know? I would rather be free in my mind and be locked up in a prison cell than to be a coward, not be able to say what I want, you know, and on the outside, you know what I mean? Have to prove myself to the Jews, you know?
I think it's very rare to have somebody like you, huh, Bobby?
Well, it's becoming increasingly rare. There used to be a lot of people like me, but little by little, the Jewish spirit seems to be conquering all, you know?
Yeah.
Because of all the money they have and all the wonderful things you can buy with money nowadays, you know?
Yeah, for example, what's happening in this world? Like, for example, people are writing, for example, and talking about your sanity, you know, that you're crazy, that you are, you know... out of your mind, that you are, you hate the Jews, you know, and all that. The Jews hate you, I don't know.
Well, they hate me much more than I hate them.
Yeah, I don't know which, you know.
But I have more of a contempt for the Jews than hatred, you know.
Uh-huh, okay.
They're hardly worthy of hate, they're such garbage, you know.
Yeah, and I was wondering, why don't they write about, you know, like Dickens and Ellsworth, for example? How can they do this to you, for example, and because they are the root cause of all this, you know, and it's incredible that,
this is a proof, Eugene, what I'm saying, this is clear proof that the U.S. government is behind this, because what power is there that can completely, I mean, the Jew control the U.S. government, of course, the U.S., the same thing, the Jew control, the Jews control the government, anyway, but this is proof that U.S. government is behind this robbery, because there's nothing in the press about it. Who has the power to black out a major story like this?
Yeah,
the press is saying it. Fisher says, you know, the Holocaust never happened, or Fisher says the Jews are no good. They're not giving any of the details, any of the facts of this robbery, of this mega robbery of my stuff in Beacons. The fact that I sent the money to Bob Ellsworth, I did exactly the same thing in 1998 when my stuff was robbed as I did in 1997. In 1997, I sent him $5,000. There was no problem. 1996, I sent him $5,000. There was no problem. What happened in 1998? It wasn't me. It was Bob Ellsworth and Beacons who did something different. I did exactly the same thing in 1998 as I had in 1997, 96.
Yeah.
So the Jew press is totally covering this up. I sent the Ellsworth the check for $5,000 by registered mail. He told me he received the check. It was a bank check, not a personal check. He told me paid. He told me several times during the year all my accounts were current. Beacons was current.
Yeah.
He's getting letters from Beacons telling him they're going to sell my stuff. He say because he hasn't paid it. He didn't pay it, and he's lying to me.
Yeah.
You know, obviously a chief conspiracy between Beacons and Ellsworth, and they're both put up to it by the U.S. government because it's clear, you know, why should Beacons and Ellsworth be rewarded with my property, entering into conspiracy to rob me? Not only should I get my property back, but they should go to prison for 20 years.
Yeah, and
because obviously they have protection. They were told in advance by the United States government, you can do this, but we'll protect you. Don't worry about the law, you know?
Yeah, because from the Chess magazines, I was browsing and looking for any opinion, you know, or in the columns, let's say, or any write-ups about Beacons and Ellsworth and the process of law that they should have gone through before they went into this robbery. No analysis of anything, you know. And I hardly saw Beacons, you know, stories moving.
I don't think the name Beacons has ever been published anywhere.
Nothing.
I think one time on a Jewish internet site they published a transcript, or a falsified transcript, very falsified, by the way, of one of my interviews in the Philippines, and they misspelled Beacons deliberately, B-E-A-C-O-N-S.
Yeah.
But the real spelling, as you pointed out in the interview in Manila, is... storage company. Now, maybe they're the biggest in the world. I don't know. They have a branch right here in Budapest. They're all over the world. They're all over the USA. But their image is being protected also by the press and by the U.S. government, you see. They would never have entered into this if they thought that they were going to get arrested if the owners of Beacons... Beacons is owned by Geologistics Incorporated of Hillside, Illinois, you see. But I'm sure that's a Jewish company. I don't know who the names of the people who own Geologistics, but I'm sure they're Jewish. This stuff would never, this would never happen unless Beacons had been assured in advance that they wouldn't be prosecuted, you know, and also their image wouldn't be destroyed, because who the hell is going to put stuff in Beacons once they realize that they're thieves, which they are? I would tell anybody all over the world, get your shit out of Beacons. They're crooks.
Yeah.
Don't trust Beacons, because they're steal. And I would also go further. I would tell anybody, if you are anti-Jewish or anti-American in any way, if you've ever spoken out against the Jews or the U.S. government, get your stuff out of storage, get your stuff out of a deposit box, close out your bank account, sell your houses, the real estate, yacht, whatever you have in the U.S., get it out of that goddamn country, because the Jews, on one pretext or another, are going to take it. They're going to confiscate it.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I guarantee you, there's a whole new ballgame. The Jews have set up a dictatorship now in the U.S. They're not afraid of anything.
Yeah. Anyway, another thing, Bobby, because some people who listen to your interview, I think in the earlier interviews, you were saying about that there was some reports or writings that your prize money was not given to you, or you have lost it in this investment, you know, in the bank, in Yugoslavia.
Yugoskandic, right.
Yugoskandic. And they said that you keep on saying that, but they were wondering if you really read that in the newspapers or in the magazines, or you were just making it up, you know. Where did you get your information?
Eugene, that's not my style.
Where did you get your information? For example,
well, I'll just give you one example. Here's a magazine called American Chess Journal. This is issue number 2. And on page 7, there's an Fisher update. And it says here, Fisher, according to USA Today, had deposited most of his $3 million-plus of prize money in the Yugoskandic bank. When the bank failed, He apparently lost his money. He is under indictment by the U.S. government for violating U.S. law and playing the Spassky match in Yugoslavia. The fugitive Fisher may now wonder what he has actually gained by playing the match with Spassky. And then later on in the article, it says, after the Yugoscandic bank crashed, Fisher moved north to a small village near the Serbian border with Hungary. The August 1993 issue of Chess carried a peculiar letter from Hungarian Grandmaster Andras Adroyan, who claimed to have visited Fisher at the Aquamarine Health Center on the Serbian-Hungarian border. He said that Fisher was being held prisoner there, guarded by four bodyguards and the Serbian secret police. Fisher, said Adroyan, was being cheated, betrayed, and abused. Deeply depressed about being cheated of his prize money, he was being poisoned by drugs and moved and talked like a broken man. Okay, so there you have it. They mentioned twice in this article that I lost my money, see?
So
you have... Incidentally, Eugene, there's another very curious point here. This is, as I said, this is an article in American Chess Journal. Just before this Fisher update where they tell all this bullshit that I lost my money, my prize money, they have an article called Going Once. And you know what it's about? About an auction. And it says, let me just read you this. It says, on 29 April 1993, an auction of sets and other chess collectibles, including a few books, was held in New York City. Auctioneer Gezer von Habsburg conducted the proceedings with impressive efficiency and a bit of humor. Although many lots did not draw their minimum bid, several went for over $1,000. The highest price, $4,400, including the 10% premium, was paid for a complete Waterford crystal set with a 6.5-inch king. According to Claudia Strauss in the sponsoring Metropolitan Arts and Antique Pavilion, the auction demonstrated that there is a good market for chess collectibles and more are planned. But this article and the article in the Fisher Update about my losing my money in Yugoslavia came out in 1993. So this is their little in-joke. They were already planning to steal my stuff in storage, you see? Right before the Fisher Update, when they said I lost all my money, they're talking about an auction, right? What did I tell you? That the reason they spread the story that I'm broke is it was to condition people that, well, Fisher lost all his stuff, he's broke, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You see how satanic and evil the Jews are. This American Chess Journal, by the way, is a totally Jewish publication. It was affiliated with the American Chess Foundation, which I mentioned in the early interview. Totally Jewish outfit, you know. I think American Chess Foundation has changed their name recently to Chess in School. It's still headed by the Jew bastard, Alan Kaufman.
Okay, Bobby, I give you to Pablo because he'll make some announcement, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Bobby, I would like to ask for a couple of minutes, probably, or... seconds, right? We have some reminders again here for our listeners. Just a moment, okay? We'll be back with Bobby Fisher after this. Kapagaya matuyan ti May Kanam, kanoding time check tayo itang ando para ti week number 4. Today is Monday, of course. And our sixth time check is 8:25. Alas 8:25, 8:25 is ura tiyo para iti starbagansa na bombura sa bahay year 5. And we go back to Bobby. Bobby, for a couple more questions. We're about to wind up in about 4 minutes. All right. And here's one question. In our previous interviews, you know, we've had some reactions from the internet also, and they were wondering why you have this you're mad about this news, and Eugene told me, why don't you ask Bobby of his sad experience with the Jews when you were 9 years old? Can you still remember that, Bobby?
Oh, alright, yeah, I don't know exactly, I think I was younger than 9.
Oh, okay.
Very young, maybe even younger, I think I was maybe 7 or 8 already, very, very young.
What happened?
Well, I was walking down the street of a very near where I used to live in Brooklyn, right near Eastern Parkway.
Yes.
And I walked by like a catering place where they used to have parties, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was walking by and I saw some little kids. They were all excited. Hey, come on in. This guy, he's paying a lot of money just to move some chairs around, you know?
Yeah.
Because I guess they had a party there and they were stacking up chairs and cleaning up the place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, this was a Jew place, by the way. This was a Jew neighborhood. Anyway, I went in there and all you had to do was move these chairs around. But there were, you know, hundreds, maybe thousands of chairs. It was tremendous work, you know?
Yeah.
So, me and these other little kids, we were moving these chairs around for hours. And while we're moving the chairs around, we're all talking to each other, you know, what are we going to get from the boss? Mm-hmm. So some of us said, you know, $1, some of us said 50 cents, you know? And we were all, you know, very excited. And some of us said more, you know? We were all very excited what we were going to get. We worked for several hours like dogs.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end, this fat Jew bastard, you know what he gave us?
What?
10 cents each.
For the whole job?
Yes, for several hours work. He gets the first kiss 10 cents each.
Oh, really, yeah.
And this was a hell of a good lesson from you. I said, oh, my God. These fucking Jews, unbelievable.
So that started you thinking about the Jews then?
Well, that was just one of many, many things. But, you know, I knew the Jews were, you know, tight-fisted, but even I had no idea that they were so greedy and heartless, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, Bob, I can't ask any more questions. We're running out of time. Your parting shot for our interview tonight, do you have any?
My parting shot?
Yes.
No, I don't think so, Pablo. I'm just very happy to be on your radio. Nobody else wants me. It's absolutely unbelievable. Here I am, a world-famous figure, offering to go on the radio free of charge anywhere in the world, and nobody wants it. It tells you, you know, the Jews have practically set up a world dictatorship. And what, you know, this motherfucker, Yasser Sarawan, he is writing in his magazine, Inside Chess, you know, that my life is drawing to an ugly conclusion because of the things I'm saying about the Jews. Bob Ellsworth's life is not drawing to an ugly conclusion for robbing me. Linda Carter, the general manager of Beacon's life, is not drawing to an ugly conclusion for robbing my stuff. The owners of Beacon's, which is Geologistics, whoever owns Geologistics, their life is not drawing to an ugly conclusion. But my life, for telling the truth about the Jews, for complaining that I've been robbed of my life's work, what took me 30 years to put together, my life is drawing to an ugly conclusion, according to this dirty, clip-prick Jew bastard, Yasser Sarawan, who's married to a fucking Jewish bitch also. She's from Holland, you know. My life is drawing to a conclusion, not all the bastards who are robbing me. Can you beat that? Yasser Sarawan, you are a son of a bitch, you are a dirty Jew, and I just was told by Eugene that the magazine is going out of business, and I think it maybe is because I outed Sarawan, you know. I outed him as a dirty Jew. I outed another motherfucker, this Tim Krabbe. He's also admitted he's a dirty Jew. So all you dirty Jews, come out of the closet, huh?
Bob, thank you very much for giving your time.
You're welcome.
We'll get in touch with you again. Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Pablo.
All right, okay. Mga kaibigan, medyo wala na po kasi tayong oras at mamaya tayo na mag newscast na kasi, no. We would like, of course, to thank our good friend, Grandmaster Eugene Tole, for facilitating everything here. Eugene, you can use the other microphone. Your party shot, kahit na few seconds lang. All right.
Well, I think many people are saying that how can Bobby change, you know, his opinion towards the Jews. I think for him to change, there should be a change of heart also on the part of the other side, you know,
mm-hmm.
of the U.S. and also of the Jewish group that have done injustice to him, you know.
Yes.
And if Bobby sees this, I think eventually Bobby will have a better outlook in all the world.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. I think you know, as they say, it takes two to tango. Yeah.
That's right. Okay. And finally, kay Fiscal Sir, baka dating kayo siya pahingin na yun, baka may gusto rin kayong itagtag.
After sa sarang Zubabi, I am more confused and clarified. But as Eugene said a while ago, I hope everybody will be enlightened. The American government, even Bobby Fischer should be enlightened. But when will that come? The enlightenment.
That's the question.
That's the question.
Thank you very much, Fiscal. Mga kaibigan, in behalf of course, my co-anchor, si Sabi Medita, ito po si Pablo Mercado, sasabi marami salamat, and atabayan na po sa mga susunod na ilang buwan pa, kung magkakataon pa tayo pagkakataon na makausap si Bobby Fischer, it depends, ano po, kay Eugene Torre. Magandang gabi po sa inyo lahat.
Isang araw sa isang sulok ng Pilipinas,